everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. Show number 140 this November 8th, 2005. We're recording right here at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind, of course. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. Hi there, Thomas.
It is certainly nice to have you here.
Well,
today,
it's Don nice
Patterson.
To be here, and I want you to know that I wouldn't be here unless you'd have come and fetched me.
Well, I made sure you were here today.
That's right.
And you know why. Don Shaw?
Yeah, Mr. Tom.
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, man, it's going good for the big 140 today.
Yeah, 140. Can you believe that? My name's Tom Houston, by the way, but here he is, folks. The guy that created and produces this thing, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Howdy, friends and neighbors. It's wonderful to be here. I've been working all morning. We're going to record some stuff in the house, so we've got us all set up. It's our secondary studio in the house. We'll be recording in there after a while. Anyway, 140 today. It's amazing that we do that many. Many of these little shows.
Let's see, it was last November we were in Houston doing 100.
You know, right? it was about the same time, because I think Dale Campbell's birthday fell on the Friday that we came down, and I believe his birthday was last Saturday, which was the 5th. Is that right?
That's what I'm
thinking. I think so, yeah.
So that's when we got in on the 5th, and we did the Saturday the 6th, Sunday the 7th, and all came home on the 8th.
Well,
right?
He ought to be about 41, is that right?
Dale is 41.
Yeah. 41.
I thought that he was 40 in Houston.
Yeah, he was 40 there. The night we came, remember he had a bad hangover the next day.
Did the big 4-0.
Boy, felt pretty bad.
Did he? Look bad.
Cooking in the dark?
Not really.
Man, did you see, wonder if Dale, I meant to tell him, there was an article about a girl at the Lighthouse for the Blind, and it started out, cooking in the dark.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder if Dale saw that in the Chronicle.
Yeah,
it was in the Chronicle.
The heck out of it, I guarantee.
It was in the Chronicle Sunday.
One thing you could say about being 41 and then being 63, when you're 63, you can't remember being 41.
Yeah.
So.
You don't remember being 41?
Yeah, big difference there.
Yeah, you do.
You can at 60 either, let me tell you.
I mean, 41, 30, 25, no.
It all went by awful fast, didn't it?
They all run together, don't they?
Somehow it went by a lot quicker than I thought it was. I can't believe I'm 65. Seemed like I ought to be about 50.
But at the time, it probably seemed. But now, looking back, it probably seems like it really went by quick.
There you go, Pat. Air conditioner went on.
Yeah.
If you think the distance between being 20 and being 40 is 20 years, you're wrong. It's about 7 or 8 years. It'll go by so quick, you won't believe how.
And it seems like the older you get, the quicker it moves.
I was just going to say
time
that.
Moves. This year has just, do you realize this year is gone? I mean, Thanksgiving, 2 weeks from Thursday, which the show will run Friday, 2 weeks from yesterday was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Well, you know, I have a lot, like when we moved in our house, and now we've been there 2 years.
You have been?
It's going to be two years. It's a new house.
Seems like yesterday.
When I went to school, well, that's 10 years ago. I mean, I finished 12. About 11 or 12. So,
wow. Well, you think about this building. This building is 7 years old now.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like we just moved out here, you know?
Really?
So I don't know. Yeah. We're just, oh, yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, I sit here and talking about how pathetic it is getting old. But we have a lot of young folks listening to us, and that's important. Number 140, and we're going to do show number 100, Blind Like Me, after a while, which will be the Life and Times of Phil Parr.
Young Philip.
Yeah.
As narrated and scripted and produced and dictated by Phil Parr.
Exactly. Not really.
Well, if we had some dead time, I saw an interesting gadget that I wanted to mention.
All right.
And the one of the reasons I want to mention is because Dale Campbell had sent us one of the flashlights that you shake.
And you go back and forth.
And there was kind of some advertising, not by Dale, but I've seen a similar product on TV where the advertisement seemed rather dubious. I mean, it says you could see it for a mile.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't, who knows? I couldn't. And that you shake it a little bit and you'll never be without a flashlight. Well, I saw there is now in an infomercial a company, and I don't know if it's Turbo or Torbo, something like that. And they've made what I consider a significant improvement in these products. These are the people, I think, that created the wind-up radio. You turn the crank and it lasts for 30 minutes.
I've got one.
Well, all right, now they have the flashlight that you turn the crank for 1 minute, it will last an hour.
Boy.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
And it's
that's
a little bigger
cool.
than the... And it looked... you know, because then when you hear their sales pitch, it should be $39.95, but they'll let you have it today for $19.95. But if you order right now, they'll send you two of them.
Did you order?
No, I didn't order it. But anyway, they also make a bigger version of it and the crank radio. Does your crank radio work?
Crank radio works.
Okay, so they claim that the flashlight, if you turn it for a minute, that it will last an hour. Now, I don't know how long that cranking a minute, I mean, could you go get it tomorrow, and would that minute still be there, or would you have to do it again?
I
didn't say that.
But I bet
every time.
Either way, a minute is not.
No kidding. That's not.
Not
nothing.
Too bad. You
no,
know. So
sure
I just thought I would mention that.
I think you ought to order one.
Me too. Sounds pretty
get
neat.
Two of them. I mean, you get one free if you buy one, right?
Well, give me $10, Houston. So give me $10.
You would take my check, wouldn't you? No, you wouldn't take my check. Okay. Got out of
no, but I'd take Clyde's check.
Yeah.
Oh, $5,000 Clyde. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay. This comes from Keith Patterson off the List Mail.
Yep.
And he said, hello, the wife has always used a scroll saw, and we recently bought a used Delta 10-inch bandsaw.
Uh-huh.
Working on a rocking horse for the niece for Christmas. Now, every time she tries to back out of a cut with a bandsaw, the band jumps off the wheels. My question is, can one not back out of a cut with a bandsaw? We had the saw checked over by the local Delta Service Center, who confirmed it was in good shape, and the tracking and tension were fine, getting pretty good on reinstalling the blade.
Yeah.
But it's getting old. So we did buy a very small 1/8 inch blade for those tight cuts. Keith Patterson.
Yeah, well, there's no reason why he can't. But what was wrong? The scroll saw was doing what he wanted done.
You would think so, yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know much about bandsaws.
I don't either. I had a scroll saw at one time, but I never had a bandsaw.
Yeah.
I do know the blade axe looks like a fan belt going around.
Well, I have both, a scroll saw and I don't like either. The first thing I did with that bandsaw was cut a little map of Texas, and it worked fine. I mean, I just you know, thought it through and cut it kind of in reverse, and it worked perfectly.
Yeah.
But I've never had any luck with a scroll saw. I think the blades broke. Well, I thought the scroll saw from you, didn't I?
I've heard that scroll saws are easy to break blades on.
I was unplugging the phone.
Yeah, the scroll saw blade is broken even as we speak. The bandsaw blade is back on, but I don't know what the deal is there.
I don't know the answer to that one.
I don't either. Is there an answer on the list?
You know, they may have been, but this was stuff I had left over.
Maybe
from
our
last
guest
week.
Today, Tom, could knows about
he may,
bandsaws.
He may know.
We'll
now,
just ask him.
We'll just ask him when he comes up.
All right.
Okay, here's another one here. This coming from Susie. Everybody knows Susie.
You
knew Susie. Today, a neighbor's trunk lock became jammed with removal of the key seeming doubtful. Her remedy was, if we had a man around, he could get this key out. He's a neighbor man, tried unsuccessfully, suggesting that an additional dosing of WD-40 be given.
No!
Allowed to penetrate and try jiggling. And with much dousing, jiggling, and words of yes, encouragement, the key was removed and the trunk shut.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Now you want to know the purpose of this dissertation. The door locks, too, are a bit iffy.
Yep.
So what should be used on these locks for improving the click? WD-40 or silicone spray?
Neither one.
Is there a better idea? If so, what?
Oh, yeah. Don't use either one.
Yeah, that'd be a good start, wouldn't it?
Yeah, don't use either one because I guarantee you this guy's trunk lock, it may work for a while, but it'll attract some. It won't work long.
Oh, yeah, eventually it'll just get
it because WD-40 leaves a residue and it attracts dirt. You need a dry lubricant. You need graphite powder.
graphite.
Graphite powder. You buy it, you know. It's hard to use if you're blind because you have to clip that little tip off the end of it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard to use unless you can get the lock where you can spray down into the lock because you can't feel it and you can't see it and you can't, you know.
Like a real fine grain.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like
you don't know
powdered
if
sugar or sand.
And you don't know if you did any good or not, but I wish I'd used that on my sliding door.
Remember back when Cleta's little cavalier trunk wouldn't open?
Yeah.
And we put some of that in there.
Yeah.
And waited a while. It didn't happen immediately. But a couple of days later, it opened up, and it's been opening ever since.
Yeah, it's the stuff. I'd like to have some kind of an aerosol can of graphite powder so I'd know that I'd done good with it, you know? Because it's so thin, and it's so, you can't feel it, and you can't hear it, and it's just hard for blind people to use. But it's the thing you're supposed to use on a lock. Is there an answer on the?
I didn't get it.
Well, one thing, and I think on WD-40 is a solvent. Everybody uses it kind of like as an oil, but really, I'm not sure that was its original intended
more than anything,
In other words, it's not a lubricant. Like, you shouldn't do your nail gun with WD-40.
No.
Lightweight oil. That's not what WD-40
But if
is.
You have a rusty bolt on anything, on the muffler on your tractor you're trying to take off and the bolt is rusty, WD-40 is what you need.
Yeah, and there again, it's not instant. You may have to wait a while, but squirt that sucker with WD-40. That's what it's
But
for.
Don't use it on the relays in your tape recorder and or your tape machine. I found that out. And don't use it on locks, and don't use it, even though we did, knowing better, on the sliding door. However, the door works fairly well. The door works fairly well if you move it back and forth, all the way back and all the way forward a couple times.
Well, I would have said that the neat thing that doing the door would have been if you could have removed the door and cleaned it with WD-40. Then removed the WD-40 and then did
put some graphite powder in. Anyway, don't use it on. I mean, it'll open the lock, because it's kind of, it's oil and slick, and we'll talk to Gordon about this.
We can ask Gordon. I noticed on the post that in response to that, they were talking silicone, primarily in graphite.
Yeah, silicone. I don't know about that.
I've got some. I'm not familiar with it at all.
I've got some, but I don't use. I wouldn't use it much.
Here's a guy named Lee. He writes, a friend of mine is moving her standard mailbox from the street and wants to mount it flush with her brick home.
Mm-hmm.
She's got special deliveries now from the postman, and she would like to reach out and get her mail. I told her I would ask for suggestions as to how to mount this old mailbox to brick, which is solid brick, by the way. I thought of a tube of liquid nails, but... Thanks, Lee.
Well... They make, if it's a standard household mailbox, it actually has hole, or like the upright kind where the postman drops the mail down, vertically.
Uh-huh.
Either way, I mean, if it has holes, but I would take a mailbox and mount it on a board.
I would too.
You could paint it or stain it or whatever.
And then they
make masonry screws.
Yeah.
That will screw, but you'll need a drill bit, one size smaller. Like if you're going to do a half inch masonry screw, use a 3/16 bit. Drill you a hole into the brick and then screw the screw in.
You wouldn't put a lead shield in there, just screw the screw. I mean, they make screws that just screw right in there.
They make screws that go right into brick.
And that'd be the thing. But
they also make, like you're talking about, the little plastic inserts.
Yeah, or lead inserts that you slip down in there and then screw the screw into that. But that's just, mount the mailbox on the board, paint the board or whatever you're going to do, and then mount the board to the wall.
Right.
Be the simple.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to reach, because if you don't, you're going to be reaching up in the mailbox, trying to drill holes and trying to line everything up, and it'd just be a lot harder.
But also, if she, I don't know what her front door situation, coming out her front door, if she has a nice flower bed or something, you might look around. They may have some mailboxes on a stand that you might want to put in right there by your front door.
Yeah, that's a thought.
And not even... You know, it was just like was that, not on a post by the road, but like a little stick in the ground... And that would be illegal.
This kid wants to be able to open the door and reach out and get her mail.
Well, then screw it to the brick.
Screw it to the brick. Or you know, they used to have mail slots in your... You know, where they dropped
you could do
in
that.
Your door. Where they it was in the door where you, the guy, right. guy just pushed it
pushed
through and it fell. It was laying there at your feet.
Well, if you got unwanted kittens, snakes,
snakes and things.
All houses had a little mail slot there that you just kind of dropped the mail through.
Yeah.
Well, we have once again, it's hot in here.
Yeah.
We have recruited... I'll answer the phone while we... Gordon Vick will be along in just a minute. Just hang on. Be right back. More of the Blind Eddie Man Show.
Serve?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, you should have introduced this man, Houston.
Well, I thought about that, and then I looked at what I had queued up here, and I said, well, I'd have to go find my introduction, so I just I took the lazy man's way out there.
I think that
there.
Pan pot on the phone there's to one side, isn't it?
Let's see here. I believe it
the
is.
The pan pot.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah, you're right.
And pull the trim down. Pull the trim down just a little bit. We're adjusting things here. Gordon Vick, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Well, I don't really. I hadn't heard anybody say. I turned 65 the other day, so I don't know. You know, how good can you be at
65 years young? That's wonderful.
No, years old in my case. Ain't nothing young about me. Ain't nothing young about me. I tell you what I did.
All right.
I went to the doctor the other day, and the doctor said, "Phil, if you quit smoking, you can add 10 years to your life." And I said, "Yeah, doctor. If I do that, my way, I get to smoke till I die. Your way, I got 10 more years to want a damn cigarette."
About it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And that's about
that is,
it, isn't it,
really. That's something. You see a lot more old drunks and smokers than you do old doctors. Have you ever noticed that?
I know. Willie Nelson wrote a song about that.
Yeah. So,
a lot more drunks than our old doctors.
You know, I question these doctors sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had one for 9 days now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, fantastic.
I've quit again for 99. That hurricane and going through all we went through last summer with it, losing the dog and all that, it gave me a good excuse to smoke cigarettes. So I was smoking half dozen a day, but I haven't had one for 9 days.
Well, that's good, Phil. I'm glad to hear that.
Everyone says my color's better, and I sure as hell feel better. I'll tell you that. Maybe I'll make it this
And besides
time.
That leaves more cigarettes for Lou.
That's true, too.
She's glad.
Well, okay, that must be Don Patterson I hear tonight.
Hi there, Gordon. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm just great.
Good. I'm glad. Don Shaw with you?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
yes,
Gordon.
Sir,
how you doing?
Oh, doing good, man.
Hey, it's good to hear y'all's voice, believe me.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Been quite a while.
Don Shaw is going on a cruise, leaving Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to try out the big cruise ship.
Have you done one?
You've done cruises, haven't you?
Not really cruises. I've been out on the gambling boats.
Yeah.
You know, but
And
I really enjoy it because I'd rather be on the water than up in the air, you know.
Oh, well, me too. Well, it's about time for you to do another one of those impromptu visits to Texas, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I was talking to my wife about that the other day, and I told her it's about time that I do that.
And what you say?
I'm not sure Houston wants me, but I'm going to come anyway, I think.
Better than that.
Oh, we'll take you. I got plenty of room.
All right. You won't make me sleep out in the cold.
No, that won't happen. That won't happen if you got to Texas, I guarantee you that.
Okay.
Well, I think they wanted to talk to you about ceramic tile today.
Uh-huh.
I think that was going to be the subject.
Project.
You just finished a bath doing a...
I made the fatal mistake of mentioning that to my brother.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing I've ever done, the worst job I've ever had is to work for my wife.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I'll ever do another job for her. Because me and her have been to war over this project, but it's not the ceramic tile. It's the bathroom, but it's not the ceramic tile. She went out and bought some old cabinets, and I've taken them down and put them up 12 times.
Really?
I've worn them out, taking them down and putting them up. Nothing seems to satisfy her.
Why is that? I mean, what is the deal with the cabinets?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you got to talk to her about that. The deal with me is I'm sick and tired of taking them down and putting them back up, you know.
Of course, she can't hear us, right? There's no way she can hear
us. Oh, no, thank God.
But she bought some cabinets from Lowe's or someplace.
Some old cabinets. You know, everything we do at home is old. As you know, our house is 100 years old.
Yeah.
And we have to do everything, you know, like they did 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So this bathroom project was really something that she's the creator of. And, of course, I had to do it in subway tile. And, you know, you remember the old subways and how they used to look. I don't know if you do or not, Phil, but I know Tom does.
I don't know.
It was all black and white.
Uh-huh.
And you had like a 3-by-6-inch tile.
Uh-huh.
And they lay like block, you know. Very easy tile to lay, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Till you get to the floor, and then she buys this tile. It's not a mosaic tile, but it's little pieces made up in sheets. You've seen them. They come in 12x12 sheets.
Yes, I have.
The only problem with this tile is it doesn't matter where you put it or what you do with it. You have to trim all four corners of it. I mean, it's something that the regular tile guy will charge you double to put down.
Mm. Why do you have to trim the corners?
It's the way the tile is made. There's no square corners on it, period.
There are no square corners on these sheets of tile?
No. Uh-uh. No.
So you end up doing a little trimming on every one.
Now, if you're placing another one beside it, yes, they interlock, you know, and it works great. But when you get to the walls, you will trim all four walls somehow.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, in our case, it was black and white, so... depending on how it worked out, which it works out the way you make it work out.
Uh-huh.
But starting from scratch on this bathroom, though, my house was plumbed after it was built.
Yeah.
So consequently, all the piping comes right straight through the floor.
Yeah.
And to the appliance or the, you know, the vanity, the commode or whatever. And you had the old clawfoot bathtubs. So the plumbing just stuck right through the floor and hooked up to the tub.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, of course, that's the one thing I wanted to get rid of, so I took all the plumbing out and threw it out in the yard, and I cut open the walls, and I put all the plumbing in the walls, and then I come back and, you know, patch my walls, and I put concrete board all over the walls and all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's a job within itself because that,
well, sure,
that hardy board, you have to put a screw in it. It's about every 8 inches in every direction.
Mm.
And I use the Dura-Rock on the floor, which is a much thicker concrete.
All right.
Put it on the floor. And I thin set the tile down. Thin set being a real fine concrete.
You actually opened the walls and ran the plumbing through the wall rather than...
Yes.
And now your house has a basement.
Yes.
And so they brought the water in to the basement first and what?
And all the drain lines.
Go down. And so you opened the walls and put all this... You replumbed your house.
Well, just that one bathroom.
Just that one bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is it on the first floor? Is it?
Yes.
So you ran up through the plate and up into the wall and came out like it's supposed to be, like they should have done it to begin with.
Yes, yes.
Well, you added several hours or days of work there.
What a project.
Believe it or not, my favorite thing to do to a house is plumbing. That was one of my favorite things. I like that better than anything I can do, I guess. I don't know why. I don't ask why. Most people tell me I'm crazy.
Yeah,
but, some plumbing I don't like. Ooh, well,
plumbing.
The vast majority of it's a lot of fun.
Gordon, I want to interrupt you here.
Sure.
These guys last about two shows ago, something we were talking about, old cast iron plumbing.
Yeah.
As old as this house is, that what it may have been?
What it had.
Okay, where you do the rope joint, the lead and the...
It's called balk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you pack it in with chisels, and then you had this collar you put on and you poured lead.
Yeah.
Hot melting lead in it.
I told these guys about that, and they said they had never seen that. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, it was common back in those days.
Yeah.
That's about all they had, really.
How did you melt the lead?
You had a pot with a gas burner.
Man. And you melted it. So this would be something that blind people could not do.
No, it's too dangerous. I mean, you melt it, and then you just pour it over, into the connection you've made.
Yeah, hot lead could be.
Yeah, you just kept your lead melting all the time as you're working with the pipe.
And that was their way of joining two pieces of pipe together, was that sort of connection?
Well, this was the drain line, yes. And it was very effective. Works great.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it does. But my God, what a
There's I'm no... not. I never did any of that. Now I have taken a lot of it out.
There's no pressure on that drain line. Why would they think that connection needed to be so? So
well, that was just what they thought back in those days.
Yeah.
Of course, we all know PVC pipe is probably the ultimate now.
Oh man!
Oh yeah.
So.
Clean it and glue it and be done with it,
Right, right.
They even give you a flange on each end to fit over the other pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it works great. And, of course, that's what I used to put back. Now, on the water lines, I used copper, and I soldered it together.
Yeah, just soldered it with just a little brazing, just a little deal on the end of a gas bottle?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I used that, what do they call it, environmental-friendly solder with no acid, no lead in it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And of course, I had to do that because when I removed the old pipe, and I didn't remove all of it in my house, by the way, but the main trunk line, when I removed it, it had a lot of corrosion in it or blockage.
Imagine.
And so what I left in, I flushed it and cleaned it out real good. Before I ever hooked to it, and it worked beautiful. But I use what is called a no-hub coupling. It's a rubber coupling to join the PVC to the cast iron pipe,
mm-hmm.
and it has clamps just like a radiator clamp, for instance.
And you just put it over there and clamp it down, and you're on.
Yes. And then you're ready to run your PVC.
I did the same thing on the house on Allendale, guys.
Did you?
When I ran my washer around there, I had this big cast iron pipe, and then I got this kind of a bell fitting that fit over that, and then there was this big rubber thing, and then this O clamp, just a big, that you screwed down.
Radiator hose type clamp that you tighten down. So that joins you to the PVC to the old cast iron pipe.
Right, and now you're ready to start plumbing.
Yeah, and you're ready to start. Well, I guess you think when you say you like to plumb, plumbing is, I mean, it's a, if you know how to do it, it's the same way every time. I mean, you run the, you know.
It's very simple. You know, you've seen people get under a sink and try to hook up a trap, and it always leaks and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's done correctly, you can hand tighten the whole thing, and it won't leak a drop.
Well, now they make hand tighten things to go for
yes,
the trap.
They do.
Now they
do.
Make a hand tighten deal. In my house, all over my house, are hand tighten.
Yeah, and if you do it correctly, you can do it. It's
because there's no pressure on that drain. It's not you know, it's not like bringing, you know, it's not like it hasn't got any water pressure. It's just drain.
No, but Phil, I've had some leaks I would disagree with you on because I couldn't get them stopped.
I spent a weekend hooking up a garbage disposal. Should have took 30 minutes one
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the hardware store, and we just talked to our friend Dan Rossi, remember, the other day. you can get in trouble with the drain line, but
you know.
Well, I forgot to knock the plug out of a garbage disposal and couldn't figure out why it wouldn't drain.
You'd forgotten to knock the plug out?
Yeah, if you can believe that.
Yeah, so you had to take the whole thing apart again?
Yeah, and then I take the plug out.
Well, is the bathroom job through? Is it done?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
To her satisfaction?
No, not the cabinets. I've got one more try on them.
One more shot.
And then
one more try.
Just going to burn them after that, right?
Well, it's going to be my last time. Now, she may have her boyfriend do something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's going to be my last time.
We need a guest for next week's show. Maybe we could call him.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm stand by. Probably the best guest would be her.
Yeah. But anyway, I got it all plumbed in, everything. I got the shower in. My purpose, I was adding a shower.
Yeah.
And of course, I built my own shower fan, too, which I really enjoyed doing that since I don't do that very much.
So you welded yourself a shower pan?
Oh, no. You don't do that way anymore.
You don't?
No, you buy a vinyl liner.
Oh.
Like a swimming pool liner?
Well, you buy a piece of vinyl. That's what you do.
Uh-huh.
They've got it in a roll at Lowe's.
Really?
Uh-huh. And depending on the size of your shower, I think it comes in 6-foot widths. And you can build a shower any width you want it because they make a glue to seam it together.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, in my case, I built a small shower, and that was a lot of fun. I hadn't done that in a long time.
Now, so you didn't buy a shower, a little stall that you just put in and screwed
it? Oh, no. I built my walls and my shower pan and everything.
Out of this vinyl.
So you built the shower to ceramic tile, and you built the pan out of the vinyl.
Well, but it's got a ceramic tile floor.
The shower does, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, slanted toward the middle with a drain in it.
Right to the drain, yeah.
Man, what a deal. What a great.
It's very simple. It sounds like it would be a major job, but, you know, today everything is simplified. And certainly that is, and of course you can. I think it's Lowe's or Home Depot or both. They have classes on this stuff. I've never been to one of them.
Yeah.
But they'll actually teach you how to do it. But in my case, I put down a concrete board, and then I put down the vinyl liner, and I let it come up about 6 to 8 inches on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought my concrete on the walls down over that liner,
uh-huh.
Making sure I never put a screw in below 6 inches of the bottom of the shower pan.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I take, of course, you install your drain, and you adjust your drain. In my case, I adjusted it to a 1-inch thickness at the drain, and then I went down on my bandsaw, and I got some quarter-inch birch plywood I had, and I cut me some strips that went from 2 inches to 1 inches.
Uh-huh, that slanted down.
Yeah, I cut me 4 of them.
Uh-huh.
All right, and I run out of the corner to the drain, and out of the corner to the drain 4 times.
I got you.
And then you mix up your cement and sand, and all you do is you mix it. It's a dry mix. It's like it's not cement that's wet and runny. It's almost like a wet sand.
Uh-huh.
You dump it in there, and you take your little board, and you screed it. Okay?
Even with the top of the boards you put in?
Yeah, and that way it goes right to the drain. And you keep it just a little bit lower than your drain because you're going to come back with ceramic tile.
On top of the concrete and the boards.
That's correct.
In other words, the boards you were really just using as a guide.
That's
basically
correct. It's just slope correct.
Yeah. Right. To get the angle correct.
Right.
And then once you got that and that hardened, then you came back and put ceramic tile over it.
Yeah, I put thin set down, and then I put ceramic tile on top of that, and then I grouted my tile, and there's my shower fan.
And there's your, there
what
you
a deal.
You're built.
So you see, it's a lot simpler than it sounds.
That's pretty slick. Right
yeah, I guess it is. How did you know how to do that? Did you just invent that? I mean, or did you had you seen that somewhere?
No, I didn't invent it. When I went down and worked the Miami Hurricane, there was a lot of showers like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to learn on the job.
You saw somebody do it, so you yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess more or less, yeah.
I bet Lowe's makes a kit for doing that. I bet they make the board's already cut and everything for doing it.
I don't know if they do or not, because in my case, I had a limited amount of space. My shower was small.
Yeah.
And so I just had to make it fit the room I had for a shower.
Yeah, but how come, why didn't you just, you didn't want to go buy a already made shower? Because they make all kinds of sizes and
well,
shapes.
They didn't have one my size. I could have ordered a pan, Phil.
Yeah.
$350 to $600.
Well, yeah.
And I built this one for less than $100.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
So you see, there's a big difference.
Yeah. Plus,
you can order a cultured marble pan if you want it.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah,
I'm sure somebody'd sell you one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but my house, I just have a, it's just a, I mean, I know that's what this is. It's just a shower that they set in there and tied a drain to it
mm-hmm.
and ran some faucets through the wall, and bingo, got a shower. It's got a slide door on it, and it mm-hmm. got a little corner bench in it that you can, you know, you can sit on while you're doing whatever you're doing in there.
Right.
Whatever you're doing in the shower. You don't want to sit there too long. But
take a shower.
Folks will talk about you. But, you know, that just seems easy. It's so easy.
But I mean, that shower that you're talking about has a pan under it.
Yeah.
It should have. I mean, wouldn't they inspectors make them have that?
They have
Gordon?
To be a pan under there, right?
You mean in my case? No.
No.
It's got the vinyl.
In any house you build, I mean, there would be a pan.
They're going to make you put a pan under the shower.
To keep it from leaking.
Mm-mm. No, you don't use a pan when you build one like I'm talking about. What if you wanted to make the whole bathroom a shower? And with five shower heads coming out of the wall.
Yeah, that would be a thought, wouldn't it?
You see what I mean? I know some houses that have bathrooms like that.
What a deal.
I thought there was a shower pan under every shower ever in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I thought.
Your vinyl liner is your pan.
Yeah.
That vinyl will last longer than we will.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it'll last longer than I will.
Yeah, even a metal one will rust out before it will.
But under a shower like I've got, the little plastic kind of shower like I've got, is there a pan under that, you think? Or no?
In your case, yours is probably fiberglass.
Probably is.
That's what it is.
Probably holds fiber, and they just set the unit in there and...
And start building.
And start being built
it's
around.
It's got lips that turn up on the wall, just like the vinyl, just like I turned it up on the wall.
That's right, and they just built around it.
And they bring the green board is what they use.
Yeah.
It's a sheetrock, and it's called a green board. It's supposed to be waterproof.
But you wanted a real shower, so you just built you one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it saved me a lot of money.
Well, I guess it did. $500. That's good little chunk of change.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a deal.
All right.
That's enough to get a Greyhound ticket and come to Texas.
That's just about right. Yeah.
Well, you know, the whole project that I did would have been very expensive.
Yeah,
and,
sounds like it.
Of course, I think I've got about $2,500 in the whole deal.
And it would have been double that or more if you'd had
somebody
come out and,
I say 25. It may have been 23. I don't remember exactly, but it wasn't near what it would have cost me to have it done.
Yeah, if you had it done.
But you're putting the cabinets up one more time.
One more time.
Are you talking about up? You're talking about setting them and putting the sink in them, or these cabinets that go up on the wall to hold towels? And
no, cabinets to go up on the wall.
Yeah.
It's such a limited space, and she went out and bought three cabinets.
Uh-huh.
And I never knew there were so many different arrangements of three cabinets in my life.
Yeah. So the holes are already in the wall and ready to put the cabinet up and put the bolts in. And
So they can be arranged several different ways.
Oh, absolutely.
So
trust me.
I don't know.
But I'm going to do it one more time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we need to check with you next week and see kind of
Okay.
You know, kind of
yeah, see how that little but, project went?
How things went. What else is going on in your life? You got some new kind of gutters that...
We don't have the gutters. What we have is at the top for gutters.
Yeah.
You know, we were losing a large part of the market to these hoods you put on regular gutters.
Uh-huh.
So we decided, why do that? You know, if you bought a new house and you wanted your gutters covered, and I came out with our product, I couldn't sell you new gutters, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so why should I buy new gutters? I got brand new ones on my house.
Yeah. So you've got a gutter cover now.
Yes.
Yes.
However, let me say this. It's a separate identity from our Abacon.
Now, this isn't the one that you were working on some kind of a little invention at one time.
Yeah, I worked on this idea and worked on it, and to produce a machine to make it productively and all that stuff was just far beyond my financial reach.
Yeah.
But these people have the machines. They make it. It's a wonderful product. It's called Gutter Topper.
Uh-huh.
And we will be Gutter Topper of Chattanooga and Gutter Topper of Birmingham. And it's a beautiful product. It's I'm amazed. I went to Cincinnati and went through a little training seminar they had in a sales seminar, and I was just amazed at the quality of the product. And I have seen a bunch of them.
And so you got the franchise for Chattanooga and Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
and I'm going to blow your mind. We're really not in business yet.
Yeah.
We had hoped to be in business before now. But you know how you do a little blind ad just to get a feeler?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We got three leads, not even equipped to go on them. We got three leads, and I sent Russell, my son, out there.
Yeah.
And he come back with, he closed all three of them.
Really?
What a deal.
So,
what a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's really a good deal.
So to do this to a, say, it's a house the size of mine, what would it cost?
Well, let's put it this way. If you spent $3,000 with the K-Guard,
uh-huh,
or the, you know, Abacon's gutters,
yeah,
probably cost you about $1,300 with this product.
To just different. Put tops on the gutter.
If you have good gutters.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a sizable cost difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
all I have on mine are screens.
Yeah.
Of course, and that sometimes causes more problems than it helps.
Right. Screens are a problem.
But with this new gutter topper thing, water just rolls off just like it does with your other system that you have.
It does the exact same thing.
Does exactly the same thing.
Yeah. And
for about a third the cost.
Yes. And also we have what is called the Terminator, which is strictly, it's a top for gutters that actually is probably the best top out there for people who have a lot of pine trees around their house.
Yeah.
And it really works well, and it's made all together. It does. It goes on the same way. It gives you the same appearance, but it's actually made different. It's a perforated, almost like a screen, but it's not a screen.
Yeah.
Nothing clings to it, but it catches all the pine needles.
Catches all the pine needles, and they just go off in the yard, and the water goes in the gutter.
That's right.
Which is where it ought to be.
That's right.
Well, Birmingham, man, Birmingham's a big city.
Yeah, but we're not in business yet down here as far as that goes yet.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
I guess you guys can install these toppers over whoever's brand or size of gutters that one may have on their house.
Yes, we can do a 5 or 6 inch gutter.
All right.
Yeah. And it's on a 4, up to a 412 pitch roof. It doesn't require any bending with a brake machine, but when you get beyond that, then it has to be custom fit with a brake machine. But it works great, and it's pretty quick to do.
Yeah.
You could probably do 300 to 500 feet a day, depending on how high in the air you were and what pitch the roof was.
How many people you had? How many people? But Russell sold all three of them, huh?
He sold all three of them. Yeah.
Well, good boy, good boy.
He takes after Uncle Houston.
Does he? Think he gets that sales ability from Uncle Houston?
Yeah, I believe he does.
Yeah, he might.
He loves to run his mouth. I know that.
So, Gordon. Gordon, a lot of the newer houses have the steep roofs, so what would the extra cost be for bending?
Well, we don't charge any extra for it.
I mean, you said it would have to have the bend.
Well, it does, but, you know, one outweighs the other. I mean, you don't, there's no extra charge. We wouldn't charge you any more than we would someone who didn't require the bandage.
And one time on one program before you did, I talked about that on the gutters on our house, and they have these little stand-up, these little block, you know, at the end of a valley or a gut, they have these little metal things that are sticking up. And you said, yeah, that just helps rot out your fascia port or something.
Right. It's like a dam. It throws the water back in the house.
What do y'all do with it? Like, if I contracted you to come and do the toppers, what would you do about that? Would you take those off or?
Yes, we take them off and throw them away, and we'd install our custom inside miter that goes there. We have a way of diverting the water into a V and slowing down its rate and getting it in our gutter.
Okay.
So that's a pretty complicated process. It took years and years of development to come up with something. And even till this day, it won't handle 100% in a heavy rain.
Yeah.
But it will get, in normal rains, it will get all of it.
We assume that someday it's going to rain here again.
Same way up here, buddy.
Man,
we need the rain, too.
I'm telling you. All right, sir, we're going to go. And when are you, seriously, when are you coming down? You might as well come on.
I don't know, but I want to do it. I'm getting the hots to do it.
It's fall time. You might as well come on down and enjoy some of this cool weather that we ain't having. It's 85 degrees.
Yeah. Well,
you'll bring the rain with
you. Now, we're having some cool nights, but the days are just beautiful.
Well, it's going to change around. We're going to have some cool weather toward the end of the week.
Yeah, we will.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to y'all. Y'all keep up the good work.
Well, we look forward to you coming, sir.
Okay, buddy. And y'all take care.
We'll enjoy it. Thank you, Gordon.
All right. See you, buddy.
All right,
bye-bye.
Gordon, Vic, we're going to talk about sheetrock in just a few minutes. Hang on. Be right back.
Serve?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com.
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, now that we finished talking about tile and bathrooms, now I guess we could talk about putting sheetrock on the walls, couldn't we?
Yeah,
people have been doing sheetrock projects around here lately.
I have been confused about sheetrock because I thought sheetrock went up like paneling. I've been around a little sheetrock. I didn't use any much in my house because I don't like it. But it was my understanding that I thought a sheetrock sheetrock went like paneling goes. In other words, a 4x8 sheet stood up, the 8-foot side being the long side. Well, come to find out, I'm wrong.
Well, I wouldn't say you were wrong. There's places you could use it. I guess the secret to hanging sheetrock would be to minimize the seams that you have. I mean, if you were concerned about that, I don't really think anybody is. But, as you know, art on the ceiling, it's just going to go however it goes. I mean, it's 4x8 standard. Any more, though, they make, I understand, 12-foot long pieces of sheetrock.
Well, that'd be tough to put on the ceiling.
Well, with all these cathedrals, you know, any more ceilings and roof pitches are going up higher, higher, higher. I would say to our ridge and our room, our den is, you know, 22, 23 feet. So,
really?
Yeah, and the pitch on the roof is, I mean, it's like a church. So, and I think they may have 12-foot pieces of sheetrock, special order, because anymore in the houses, instead of used to be 8-foot walls was standard, you know, it's 9 and 10 now. And so you would, instead of patching, but basically on the walls, like the way I used to sheetrock, or that I know how to sheetrock, is you do it horizontally instead of vertically. Instead of taking the 4x8 sheet and standing it up on its end where it's 8 feet tall and four foot wide, you put it up.
Long ways.
Long ways.
Yeah. So you put it up close to the ceiling, put it over in the corner, and tack it up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you butt it up to that ceiling, and if your studs and everything are on 8-foot centers, which I don't think I've had found a wall in my garage that, and I put them on 15, you know, 16 and a half centers.
Yeah.
Or 16s, I think, is what you're supposed to be, 15 and a half. And, but anyway, it's supposed to meet up with the stud there, and then you put the next piece up.
Yeah. But you put a piece under it, so you'd be 4 feet, 8 feet, and so you'd be 8 feet down, so you'd do two pieces.
Yeah. Your long seam goes horizontally across the wall instead of...
See, I did not know that, and there must be some other blind people who didn't either, because...
Yeah.
Well, I think we were talking about paneling. You said that you assumed, you know, but a lot of times paneling has a design... either a stain or a groove, and so that would be the reason probably to put the paneling up, and then it has an overlapping,
tongue and groove
type thing that flushes it out. But on sheetrock, you know, you're going to tape and float and texture, and so actually, what you want to get there the quickest way you can, and the quickest way, for instance, I have a 6-foot wall. Or let's say it's 72 inches. Instead of hanging one 4-foot piece vertically and then cutting the other one, I can cut two 4x8 sheets to that length and hang them easier than I can stand.
Then you could stand that long, piece.
Cut
yes,
this
sir.
Long.
I understand.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the.
Yeah, supposedly when you finish taping it between the seam, in other words, you take these two pieces of sheetrock are there, you put a piece of tape down the seam.
Right.
And then you put spackle over that.
The mud, you mud it.
Sheetrock mud.
Down. Yeah.
And so you can't see the seam anyway.
Shouldn't be able to. It's just a matter of, it's the ease of it. Instead of cutting, if I did it the way you did in the places I'm going to get you guys to help me with, I would spend more time getting that one piece in there to stand it up straight than I would if I cut them long ways and we pushed them up and nailed them.
Yeah, which is what we're going to do.
Yeah. And so it's really expedience and...
Because you're not going to see the seam anyway, so what's the difference?
You're not going to see the
seam anyway. Yeah. Whereas in paneling... Like you said, a lot of times it'll have a groove in it that'll connect to the next.
The design would make all the difference in the world.
It'll connect to the next piece of paneling, and they're side by side, like this paneling in here, junky old paneling that Robert Todd, he approved it first, and he decided about 3 days later, well, I wish we hadn't bought that.
Kind of late then.
Yeah, it's a little late. Well, that'll be fine, Phil. Went to Lowe's and looked at it, or where we went. Had Home Depot or whatever we had then.
Yeah.
Said, that'll be great. And then 3 or 4 days later, he decided it wasn't what we needed. But anyway, it's what we got. But it's in 4x8 sheets, but it stood up. I mean, it's not horizontal. It's long ways or standing up.
Yeah.
So I thought sheetrock was done like that. Now, what do you fasten sheetrock to their studs with? With nails or sheetrock screws?
I prefer nails. I mean, I know everybody harps on the screws, and I've got a drill bit in this, and it goes up in there, and I drill holes. But I use an inch and a half or an inch and a quarter, maybe inch and a half ring shank sheetrock nail. You hit it about three times, and you're there.
But if you miss...
Well, it'll bend. I bent 1,000 of them. If you do a glancing blow, you got a problem.
Yeah. All right. Well.
A lot of taping and flow.
We'll see if we can't do that tomorrow. Put up a little.
All right. I'm counting on it. Right. I need it. Yeah.
Show number 140. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
End of the line.
About history, isn't it? Huh?
Almost.
Yep. Just about gone. We thank you. Thanks, Doc.
Another one down the...
Oh, he's gone.
The old tube.
We may have lost him forever. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Thank you, Don Shaw. Thank you, Tom Houston.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, we'll see you all next week. Let's go do our other show. Thank you very much. I'm Phil Parris. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.